And that is Hark, a Thrilling Voice is Sounding. I'm Tom Baker, and we're going to be talking about this hymn today on this Tuesday, December the 8th, in the year of our Lord, 2015. And on Tuesdays, of course, we take a look at a hymn. I want to give a couple of announcements, first of all. This week, I will be doing five long gospels, so we should be here live every morning at 9:30. Yesterday, with Issues Etc., we did the Sunday school lesson. Today, after this study, we're going to be doing a Bible study in Emmanuel Olivet at 11 a.m., 9733 Olive Boulevard. That's just east of Lindbergh. On Wednesday, I preach at the International Center here at 10 a.m., and then do a Lenten service at Trinity Orchard Farm at 7 p.m., and then on Sunday, I'll be preaching Sunday morning and doing the Bible class at Trinity Orchard Farm. That's out there on Highway 94 on the other side of the Missouri River. So I'm pretty busy, unlike Pastor Mark Smith, who has nothing to do because he's having his field workers do everything. Hey, Mark?
Boy, I thought you were retired, Tom.
You thought I was retired? Yes.
Yeah, you are busy.
I think you get more busy after retirement.
Well, I've heard that. I've heard the retirees say things like that.
Yes. So we'll just have to wait and see how that comes about. But you say that you're doing the Advent series, which is tomorrow night. What's the theme?
Christ comes to us in baptism.
Christ comes to us in baptism.
Yes, I'm enjoying it.
You are?
Yes.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
What we need to understand is when he comes to you in baptism, what is the theme that is each Wednesday? Do you have a different theme each Wednesday?
Well, I'm using the catechism a lot, that part of the catechism on baptism.
Oh, good.
I'm using that, implementing that, of course, in the services.
Yeah.
And we, of course, use a lot of hymns and carols.
Well, it's a good time. Series. John the Baptizer.
Right, exactly. It works very well.
Yes. Well, we have a hymn, Hark, a Thrilling Voice is Sounding. And did you notice who the author was?
Let's see.
Mr. Latin.
Yeah, it's a Latin text from the 5th and 5th through the 10th century. I guess that's pretty broad. Sometime between the 5th and the 10th century.
So they got 500 years there.
It gives them a little bit of leeway.
Yeah.
Translator is Edward Caswall.
Yes, he died in 1878, which was 1 year later William Monk died, 1889, and he did the music for this.
Right.
This is the only tune I've heard of this.
Yeah, and I'm not real familiar with the tune.
Although, isn't it the same as Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending? Sounds like the same tune.
I don't think so, but I could be wrong on that.
Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending. Yeah, yeah. The meter is 8787.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What that means is the first line has 8 syllables, the second line has 7 syllables, so a lot of times you can go and, like, there are some composers who use old hymnody, and once they do their hymn, they count the syllables and then try and find something that fits it. There's just a lot of ways. In fact, there's an index on the syllables, 8787.
Oh, yeah, it's very helpful.
Yeah, it is. So if sometimes you have a difficult tune,
you can you could exchange it with another tune.
Exactly. So, why don't we start with you reading the first stanza.
Hark, a thrilling voice is sounding. Christ is near, we hear it say. Cast away the works of darkness, all you children of the day.
Now, the first thing that a child might ask you, and remember, we're doing this ahead of time so you can go over with your children what these mean. What would mean all you children of the day?
Well, that's talking about us. It's talking about Christians.
Okay, who's the opposite?
Children of darkness.
Yes, very good. Children of the night. Because it even says that, cast away the works of darkness. Why? Because we're children of the day. And so we ought not be doing the works of darkness. But can we really cast off our sins?
No, we need the help of God's Holy Spirit to do that. Christ has done it. He's done it for us. Already through baptism.
I think another way, though, we can cast them off is through repentance.
Exactly, right. Yeah. But you do need God's help for that, too.
Well, that may be true, but I don't think it means here to cast away the works of darkness by ending up becoming sinless.
No.
Yeah, I think it would be through repentance that action is taken, because repentance includes both contrition of sin and faith in Jesus Christ. So who's his voice that is sounding?
Well, I think that's a clear reference to John the Baptist again.
Yes. But he says Christ is near. I wonder why the word near. Why not Christ is here?
Well, John the Baptist says that.
Yes.
Christ is, one comes after me, the thongs of the sandals of whom I'm not fit to untie.
Yeah, see, he hasn't introduced Jesus yet.
Right. There you go.
And then also, Jesus himself says, the kingdom of God is near.
Mm-hmm.
And that, of course, means, and a lot of people don't understand that, that Jesus' ministry didn't begin when he was born. It began really with the baptism by John the Baptizer.
Right.
And that's when the Holy Spirit descended upon him, and at that point he began to preach the gospel. And he even says that the kingdom of God is at hand. That's normally the proper translation there. And John the Baptizer is a thrilling voice. I don't know if kids would understand what thrilling means.
Oh, I think so. Thrilling. It's exciting.
Yes.
Imagine if, I was thinking about this morning. Imagine, no, of course, nobody knows when the last day will be. But suppose we were told that, Christ is going to be coming within the next 6 months. Wouldn't that be exciting to you? I would be excited by it.
No. Nope.
You wouldn't?
No.
How would you feel? How would that describe? Well, you would.
What that means.
He's a false prophet. Is that what you're going to say?
No. I think the fact that Judgment Day is hidden from us is also important in regard to when we die, that's a judgment. How would you like to know the day you're going to die?
No, I wouldn't appreciate that.
No, I don't think so either. But that's when Jesus comes for you.
Yes.
So if somebody said that,
How about the last day, though? If someone were to tell you, you will live to see the last day.
Yeah,
moreover, that last day is going to be coming very, very soon, perhaps within the next 6 months. How would you feel about that? You wouldn't be excited about that?
No, because you said perhaps within the next 6 months. It could mean my death. It could mean, and if it doesn't
so
happen.
That wouldn't excite you at all?
No. Because that would mean somebody is adding to the Bible.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I think it's good that we don't know.
Yes.
I've never understood Luther on that point. He says if he knew that God was coming the next day, he would still plant an apple tree. Remember that?
Yes.
I wouldn't. If you knew he was coming, what a waste of time.
Well, what would you do?
I start reading the Bible for 24 hours.
Begin reading the Bible, right?
Yes. Start with Genesis and plow through Leviticus, and he'll probably come when I'm in Hosea. No, that's that doesn't excite me to know. I think what will excite me is when you're in the clouds. And the day has come.
Uh-huh.
Then you're going to be thrilled. But to know ahead of time, boy, that's something I had never really thought about that. But With our understanding of Scripture, we know that the person who's saying that has no grounds to say it. So we're so...
Do you think the last day will be within our generation?
I have no idea. He says the signs will all be done before this generation passes away, which is correct. Every sign that Jesus gave had been fulfilled within a few years, if not almost immediately. Because the signs aren't meant to tell you when the last day is coming. The signs are meant to warn you it could come at any moment. Because the signs are already there.
We are to watch.
Yes.
We're to be prepared, always.
Be prepared, yes. So that's an interesting question. If you knew when Judgment Day was coming, you know, those people who do think they know, I've never understood, why are they selling their houses? Have you noticed that?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, they'll sell their houses and all their possessions, and what good is that?
What, are they going to take the money with them?
I have no idea. But, of course, they have a belief in a thing called the rapture, where not everybody's going to heaven except them. But that would be scary, because you sure don't want to fly in a plane on that day if you believe in the rapture.
Well, you'd be taken up in the clouds anyway, Tom.
Well, yeah, but since not everybody's going, boy. Yeah, I think it's more thrilling to know that Jesus has come, that he's about to come again. That's why Advent has the three comings, at least the Bethlehem stable, into your heart, and then on Judgment Day. But there's a number more, because we had Palm Sunday.
That's right, Palm Sunday. He comes to suffer and die on the cross for us, to redeem us.
And when else does he come in the worship service?
Absolution. And the Lord's Supper.
Yes, very good.
And baptism, of course.
Yeah, baptism also. So that's why you can have a good theme of baptism.
Absolutely, it's very good.
You know, during Advent. All right, I'll read stanza two and see if we can get less confused. Startled at the solemn warning, let the earthbound soul arise. Christ its Son, all sloth dispelling, shines upon the morning skies. So notice, when the morning comes that he's coming, we're not thrilled, we're startled.
Yes.
See?
Yes.
And once more, here's another word that I don't think that the kids are going to understand.
Earthbound?
No.
Sloth?
Yes.
You should know all about sloth.
I'm talking about children. Yes. And let's not bring up our marriages. So, Christ's Son, all sloth dispelling. Kids aren't going to know what that sounds like.
No, that's good. I tell you, earthbound, in other words, you know, lovers of the world, you know, put that stuff behind you. I mean,
yes.
He's put your focus on Christ. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Yeah, Andy Bates was talking, you probably heard that this morning in the last 15 minutes. Wasn't that the new Lutherans for Life?
Yes.
Pastor.
Right.
And they were actually talking somewhat about this, too, that who knows, that all sloth dispelling. He says, you know, a lot of times during Christmas when somebody says we need to know the theme of Christmas, he says, people think that what you're talking about is don't get so temporally involved in
right.
Christmas.
Exactly.
But then he went and said that what they think about is to really love your neighbor. They think that's the meaning of Christmas.
Right.
And it
is not it either.
No.
They just don't get it.
No, they really don't get it. He even said agnostics may even have pictures of Jesus in their house and say Merry Christmas.
Right.
Which kind of surprised me, but Merry Christmas becomes maybe like how you doing or
a cultural thing.
Yes, yeah. Like people will often I don't know why they do this, but at the Dollar Tree and the Schnucks, when you're going through the line, the cashier will say, "And are you having a good day?" And I always say no. And it stops them because they never have anybody say no. The natural thing to say, oh, yeah, everything's fine. And then they'll look at me, oh, what's wrong? And then they said, I'm a sinner.
Well, that opens the discussion.
It sure does, except for the people in line behind me say, come on, let's get going, you sinners. Yeah, I was like, as you well know, answering questions differently than most people do to open a discussion. But so you're saying sloth, what would be an example of sloth? Christ its son, all sloth dispelling.
I would say spiritual sleep.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that we often will fall asleep spiritually.
Right.
And in fact, we do that every time we sin. Because all that sin is an act of idolatry. And we're not focusing on Jesus. We're focusing on ourselves. Now we get into some interesting items. If you'll read stanza 3.
See, the Lamb so long expected comes with pardon down from heaven. Let us haste with tears of sorrow, one and all, to be forgiven.
That's
John the Baptist again.
Right.
You know.
Et cetera,
behold,
et cetera.
The Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. And with tears of sorrow, one and all, to be forgiven. Let's hasten to be forgiven.
Yes, because he says, comes with pardon. All right. Kid might not know what pardon means.
Forgiveness.
Yes. Pardon, when do we use it in the temporal realm? If somebody gets a pardon.
Usually in the legal.
Yeah,
in the legal
exactly.
Sense.
Yeah. A governor may pardon somebody from having to go to jail. I think the president pardoned a whole bunch of criminals, mm-hmm. let them out of jail early.
And a couple of turkeys this year, I think.
They were in jail too?
No. Don't you remember?
Oh, he
right
pardoned
around Thanksgiving,
them.
The turkeys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, if I was a president, I know there's going to be a turkey somewhere, so it doesn't matter. Make those turkeys feel good. Yeah, pardon. That's really kind of important because it doesn't take away the guilt. Just like forgiveness doesn't. Forgiveness takes away the punishment. It doesn't take away the guilt. So if you're forgiven, are you still guilty of the sin? Yes.
Oh, yes. We're poor, miserable sinners.
Yeah.
But we're covered with Christ's righteousness.
Yeah, every now and then I'll see somebody writing this or it's in a hymn that Jesus has taken our guilt away. And that always kind of bothers me because he hasn't
you
taken
away. You find that sometimes even in hymnody.
That's what I just said.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, in hymns. And I think that's the wrong word.
Uh-huh.
I know what they want to say. That if you're considered no longer guilty, but forgiveness doesn't mean God says you're no longer guilty. He says, and I've used this quite a few times when I was with some federal prisoners, I said, what if the warden came in and said, you're all forgiven? What would that mean? Well, we could go home. And I said, would you still be guilty of your crime? They said, yes. And I said, you now understand Christianity. Yet God takes guilty sinners to heaven who have repented in their sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what forgiveness is, God no longer holds you accountable for your sin. He holds his Savior accountable. So I'll read 4. So when next he comes in glory and the world is wrapped in fear, he will shield us with his mercy and with words of love draw near. Now, that the world being wrapped in fear, is that prior to his coming in glory or when he comes in glory?
Well, certainly leading up to it. And when he appears, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's the Psalms that describes that unbelievers will wish that the mountains could fall on them.
That's right.
To be hidden from his wrath.
Instead, he will shield us with his mercy. Now, the word mercy is really important. I think it's in the Hebrew, it's chesed, you know, long-suffering. In other words, mercy refers that you do not get what you deserve. And that's why we're shielded with that. And with words of love, draw near. Who's drawing near?
Christ.
Yes. Yeah, we often think when the curtain tears in the temple, when Jesus is on the cross, that means we can draw near to Christ. No, it's the opposite. He leaves the Holy of Holies, and he enters into us.
Right. We become temples of his Holy Spirit.
Excellent, excellent. So what we have here is a really good summary of what John the Baptizer is saying. If you'll finish off with stanza 5, which has a triangle in front of it.
It's a doxological verse. It talks of the Trinity.
Okay.
Honor, glory, might, dominion to the Father and the Son with the ever-living Spirit while eternal ages run.
While eternal ages run. How is that understood?
Well, for all eternity.
Yeah. It just
all glory be to him for all eternity.
Yeah, in catechism, I try and give the kids an example of how long eternity is. I say, there's two mountains. A bird is on one of them, and he flies over to the other mountain, and he starts pecking on it once a month for about 15 minutes.
Just rubs his beak on the top of that mountain of granite.
And when that mountain is down to nothing, that's the first day of eternity.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other way I do it is I'll pretend I draw a line around the classroom on the wall. And I say, okay, pretend that that goes around 400 times. That's eternity. And then I say, you know how long you stayed on Earth? And then I go at the beginning of the line and put down 1 inch. That's your time on Earth. And what you believe during that time decides where you spend the other 400 times of eternity. The trouble is the line never ends. But you give an example to the kids of how important life here is on Earth as to where you're going to spend the rest of eternity. So you really can't speak about Jesus without speaking about the Father and the Holy Spirit. And that's because all three appear where?
Well, at his baptism,
yeah.
For one. I'm trying to think, do they appear together? Of course, Transfiguration? No, not there.
No.
I don't think there's any other place where the whole Trinity is exhibited.
I think it's mentioned, like in some of the epistles.
Of course.
Yeah, and then, of course, how do we begin a worship service?
Invocation.
Yeah, and that is...
That's taken from the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
That's
every
exactly
time
right.
We have the invocation, we're reminded of our baptism.
Yes. And what is the invocation?
In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. We always say that's how we begin every service. We'll remember remembrance of our baptism. And then before the pastor proceeds to the altar or introits to the altar, enters into the altar, what has to happen?
He gives us we have the confession of sins.
That's it, yes.
And the absolution.
So through repentance, we then go and hear the good news. So, worship service tomorrow night?
Yes, tomorrow night at 7 p.m.
Place?
Prince of Peace Lutheran Church, 8646 New Sappington Road. We're just south of the Watson-New Sappington intersection. We'd love to have you. We're a very friendly congregation, and we'd love to have you. It'll be about a half hour, 35 minutes service. Not long. Get the kids home at a decent hour. They can finish their homework, that sort of thing.
Okay. And I'm, like I said, at Emmanuel Lutheran at 11 a.m. today. Then tomorrow, preach here at the IC. And then in the evening, preach at Trinity Orchard Farm. And then on Sunday, I'll be also at Trinity Orchard Farm all day Sunday morning, as well as doing a Bible study. So you like Advent, don't you?
I love it. I love Advent. I love Lent, for that matter.
Yeah. Yeah, it has some real good themes.
It is. Well, it's got beautiful hymnody.
Yeah.
And, of course, what could be more fun than looking forward to the coming of the Savior?
Exactly. So tomorrow on Insight Wednesday, if you have any topics you might want to hear, then give me an email at lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. That's lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. That's our email address. We'll take a look at those today and maybe have something to say about what you have to say. Thanks, Mark, and a blessed Advent to each and every one of you.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com.